So we want them to grow. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, so let's pray that we can get to that concept. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are here, that you have brought every person here today. We know that this is not something just random, that this is an ordained meeting today. And I pray, God, that you would just go before us. You would clear our minds, Lord, and help us to understand the difference between entertaining our kids and really engaging them in the Lord so that they grow in you. That's what we want. And Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so how do you do that? How do you go from just taking care of the kids to get to the place where the kids know God and they start to grow in God? You know, today's kids are much more technologically savvy than even my kids were when they were young. My kids are all grown, as you know, I've got grandkids already. But the kids now, they've got their own phones, they've got their iPads, they're probably surfing the net, they're on social networks, social media. They're on YouTube and Spotify. They're on a lot more things than what probably we were as kids. They're playing video games with virtual reality. I don't know what you call those things that, you know, you put your phone on and... Yeah. Is that disconnecting you from reality?
Yeah.
Definitely. They have this new thing, you've probably seen it, a fidget spinner. How many of you grew up with a fidget spinner? Of course not. So these kids are having all kinds of stuff. I have seen numerous washed out there. Anyway, there's a baby here with an iPad in front of them. Whether you go to the restaurant, the grocery store, Walmart, Target, anywhere you go, you see kids with their iPads, some kind of an electronic device to keep them occupied. They're always doing something. And the parents are using these kinds of things to keep the kids quiet. Okay, so when we have these kids come to our Sunday school classes, do we expect them to sit quietly, don't move, while we get up in front of the room and talk for 75 minutes? That's not going to work. So we need to change our thinking about what Sunday school is and change our teaching methods if we ever expect to reach today's kids and expect to make an impact on their lives. So to change our thinking and change our teaching methods. All right, so let's look at some teaching methods. On one end of the spectrum, you may have something called traditional Sunday school. Okay, you come in, you've got your little desks. It kind of looks like this. It doesn't work anymore because kids are going to be bored to death. So warning, this method seldom works. So that's on one end, very, very traditional. On the other end of the spectrum is something that I'm calling entertain. We are there to entertain the kids. Since they have all of these electronic devices and they're all technologically savvy and all this kind of stuff, we need to do as much as what they see out there so that we can be relevant to today's kids. Not. Entertain means to provide someone with amusement or enjoyment. But where does God's word fit in there? We're amusing them, we're entertaining them, but that's all we're doing. So I want to suggest that not traditional Sunday school, not entertaining kids, we want to do something that I'm going to call engage kids. We want to get them involved. Engaging means to occupy, attract, or involve someone's interest or attention, to participate or become involved in. And that's what we want the kids to do, to become involved in learning about God. And for any of you who have young kids, this is Applejack. That's my granddaughter's favorite, so I had to put that in there. Okay, so Applejack said yes. All right, so when in our children's ministry, we needed to develop a vision statement. Our vision statement that we wrote was, we were called Journey Kids, capturing the hearts and minds of children in order to develop a lifelong passion for Jesus Christ. So that's what our children's ministry is all about. We want to capture their hearts and minds in such a way that they're going to develop, fall in love with Jesus, and develop a lifelong passion for him. All right, so let's look at entertaining for just a minute. Okay? This is, different font. This is what entertaining might look like. Here's an example. Close your eyes for a minute. I'm going to describe this special worship time with kids, okay? So close your eyes, see if you can picture it. There's a special worship. The kids are in special shirts. They're standing on the stage. They're dancing in unison. The strobe lights are going. The videos are going. The monitors are playing. Fog machine is bursting up fog. A loud live band is playing, mostly unfamiliar songs. And the kids are sitting and watching like they were going to a concert. And they applaud. They clap after each song. Okay, open your eyes. Are they worshiping? Classroom participation.
No.
Thank you. No. They are not focused on the Lord. They're focused on the experience. All right, here's another scenario. Let's go to game time. All right, the teacher comes out and throws some balloons out. Everybody's laughing, bouncing them back and forth. Pops a balloon over there. It's a fun game. The kids are having a blast. They're laughing. Is there anything there that is using that game to focus on God? No. No. All right. But it's a great thing to take up time, and thank you for trying to find this, because that gave us time to take up time. But the game was not focused on the Lord. So if our goal is to teach kids the good news, then we need to change our thinking about how we're going to do that. So this will cause us to change our methods of teaching too. All right, so let's look at being engaged now for a minute. And this is going to be like a little acrostic. All right, and there we go. So we're going to use the letters engage. And this is how you can engage kids. So for the letter E, we want to, we want to engage everybody. So in your lesson, in the topic that you're teaching, you want to ask the questions. Is what I'm doing, is this for all the kids? Are all the kids able to participate? Are some kids so shy that they're not going to want to be doing what you're doing together? Is it a game or something that only uses two or three kids? So we want to, if we're going to engage kids, we want to have it engage all the kids. So that's the first thing you want to look at. Jesus, when he taught, it says that he taught the crowds and they were engaged in his every word, for he taught as one who had authority. And his message was for all. So when Jesus was teaching, he engaged everybody. It wasn't just for a select few, even though, you know, he did take his disciples aside at different times. But he engaged all. So the E is for engaged all. Another way to engage is never just fill time. We'll show you in a moment how much time you actually have out of the week for a kid. So sometimes, you know, maybe the lesson is too short. Maybe the pastor is too long. And you don't know what to do. Be prepared enough so that you don't have to just fill time. Whenever you prepare whatever you're going to be teaching in Sunday school, you should have, you know, 3 to 5 things that you didn't get a chance to do. That way, when it goes a little bit longer than you expect, you're not just sitting there, when are the parents coming? And the kids are going berserk. You want to never just fill time. Have something. And the things that you do, does it have a purpose? Is it bringing the kids back to the lesson? Is it reviewing something? How does it connect with a lesson? Now, I brought a few things here to show you. Here's some time fillers. Movies. We're not going to have a show of hands of how many. Maybe you guys never did movies, but there are some movies that you don't want to play, and some movies that might have a point. If you're talking about missionaries, maybe the story of Jim Elliot, who went to the Alca Indians in Ecuador, maybe that's something that you can connect to. When I was teaching level 5, which are the fifth graders, we did a segment on missionaries. We talked first about how Paul was a missionary, then we talked about missionaries in the old days, then we talked about contemporary missionaries, then we watched The End of the Spear. We took 2 weeks to watch The End of the Spear, but there was a reason for that. We had studied missionaries. Now we were looking at the story of when the missionaries were killed, what their wives did, and how God is a redeeming God. So it had a purpose. So where one kind of a movie might not have anything to do with the gospel, another movie might. So do you see the difference? One is connecting to the story. One is supporting the story, and the other is not. All right. So think about the games you play. Does the game relate to the story? Is it just throwing the balloons back and forth that it's just taking up time? Or is there a purpose to it that the kids can actually understand? As far as my own personal opinion, I think crossword puzzles and word searches and those kinds of things, even if they have Bible words in them, to me that's a waste of time. There's other things that you can do to engage kids that are so much more valuable. All right, I am going to need Abby and one other helper. Oh, my goodness. Do I have to pick somebody? All right, thank you. All right, come on up. There is a study that says there are 168 hours in a week. So use your imagination. I have a piece of ribbon that is 168 inches long. So go out to the very end of that. All right. Actually, I'm going to need two more. What? I need two more helpers. So just come on up. Don't be shy. So this study said, imagine this. These are the hours in the week. Girls, why don't you come over on this side? You'll have to limbo, but come on over. All right. So come down. So there's 168 hours in a child's week. And the study says that 42 of those hours, they are on an electronic device. All right, so we're going to hold this up. So that represents how many hours in a week the kids are on an electronic device. All right, I need two more people. All right, there's one. Let me get my little clicker. Come on over here. I'll come this way, you go that way. All right, this represents... All right, come on in. Yeah. All right, we do all this here. All right, so 42, how much was it? 42 hours in the week. That's a lot of time. All right, compare that to, next one is there's 29 hours in school. All right, so far electronic devices wins the game here. And, excuse me, there's that little orange piece right there. This is what you have for Sunday school. If the child... Oh, you only have an hour? 1 hour, then I need to tear off half of this.
Okay.
This is based on 90 minutes, an hour and a half. Actually, 75. What do I have down there? that's even better. 90 minutes, an hour and a half. A week. That's how much time you have to invest Jesus Christ into these kids. Compare that to all the other input they're having on their electronic device. Who knows what they're learning to do in school? I'm not even going to go there. And how much time you have. All right, so I hope that with that, you see that that time that you have is extremely valuable. Plus, Barna study group says that 85% of Christians, when they are coming to the Lord, they come to the Lord between the ages of 4 and 14. That's children's ministry. 85% of all Christians have come to the Lord between the ages of 4 and 14. That makes this little tiny bit here even more valuable. Thank you very much. You did an awesome job. We'll just put all this up here. Great job holding down the hours. So considering the time that we have, and the 414, we call that the window of opportunity, the 414 window. Thinking about that, how much time and how many years, statistically, a kid will come to the Lord, we really need to be more about engaging rather than just entertaining. So let's get back to our classic. G is, are we glorifying God? When you have your lesson, when you are doing your Sunday school class, are the things glorifying God? Ask yourself, is what we're doing, is it bringing glory to God? Now, all of you know, whoops, I don't know what happened. Jesus, of course, always glorified God when he was teaching. So you want to ask the kids, does this bring the kids to God? Do they understand what you're doing? Do they understand how that's connected to the Word of God? Do they understand why you're doing what you're doing? So we want to make sure that they clearly understand what the connection is. So thinking back of that scenario of that worship time, when everybody was up on stage doing their song and dance and the kids were just watching, were the kids engaged in worship? No, they weren't worshiping. They were watching somebody else do the so-called worship. They weren't engaged in it. All right, the next one is to engage in kids. We want to be appropriate. So you want to ask the question, is my language appropriate? If I'm teaching kindergartners, am I using gigantic words that they have no idea what that means? Or am I using language that they can understand? And also, are the words that I'm saying so close to worldly gray words, you know, that everybody's saying, but we all know that they're not very nice words? Am I using those words? Or do the kids clearly see that there's a difference between a Christian language and the worldly language? So you want to use appropriate words. And then, is it age-appropriate? Do the kids understand what you're saying? So the whole point of this engaging is, do they actually understand what the concept that you're trying to teach the kids? And then the next part of engage, the G, are they growing in the Lord? Are they learning to please God? Are they getting closer to God? Is it showing the attributes of God? And do they see a difference from the world? Jesus was always desired his hearers to grow closer to God. That's the whole purpose that he was on the earth, is to show who God was. He was a manifestation of God. So he wanted his hearers to grow. And as children's ministry leaders, that's what we want too. It's not that we're, you know, filling a classroom because nobody else would do it. Many years ago, we had one of our teachers leave, and we had a Sunday night service. And I was the director. Nobody wanted the class on Sunday night. So So I took the class on Sunday night. One little girl came in. I'll never forget it as long as I live. She said, "I knew you would be here because nobody else wants to teach us." That broke my heart. Wow, you were good. That sounded like unison. But how sad was that? That nobody else wanted to have the honor and privilege of teaching these kids about God. In that little tiny 1.5-inch block of time in their lives. And I don't know if you know, at least in my church, not every child comes every week. So that little piece of paper is, you know, torn into a smaller segment. So we want to see our kids grow in the Lord. And then Jesus spoke with kindness. And so our last part here is E. He was encouraging. We want to encourage the kids. Be encouraging. Are we speaking kindly to them? You know, they get torn down enough in school. There's bullies. Maybe their home life isn't the best. There's degrading things all around them. But are we speaking kindly to them? And are we showing them God's love? That's a really important thing. All right, so let's take the rest of the time that we have left, and we're going to look at worship, interaction, activities, and teaching. And we're going to look at the difference between entertaining and engaging. All right? So let's go to worship. Here is worship that engages or that entertains. Maybe the kids are on stage. Maybe they're putting on a show. It's distracted worship. The kids are watching rather than participating. And we talked about this in the opening. They're focused on the experience rather than focusing on the Lord. And they are entertained by worship. All right. Let's talk about engaging. That's entertaining. Let's talk about engaging. Maybe those same kids are standing up on stage. The leader's focused on worship, though, and not on the leaders. Maybe the lights can create the mood, but the focus is on worship, not on special effects. Maybe they're singing mostly familiar songs rather than songs they don't know. If they don't know the words to a song, how will you expect them to participate in it? They don't know it. So pick songs that clearly talk about God. I had one of our leaders one time came, and she was all excited about playing the song Oceans by Hillsong. It's a beautiful song. That's, you know, I'm walking out upon the waters. And yeah, it's a wonderful song for an adult. But for a kid, you're thinking, God wants me to walk on the water, like go down to the beach and walk on the... You know, it didn't make any sense to them. So in that case, picking a better song would have been a better alternative. So think about the songs. Do they clearly talk about God at the kids' level, whatever age you have? And then what's so bad about letting the kids see the words, whether it's on the screen, on a monitor, on a piece of paper? Let them see the words, because the more senses you use, the more the kid is going to learn. So explain the words to them. Let the kids sense the presence of the Lord. All right, so we're gonna practice this right now. We probably don't have enough because I have about 35 copies, so maybe every two people can do this. My passion is for preteen age kids. So in the class that I was taught, it was called Level 5. And one of the things that was, designed it into a Wednesday night program. One of the things I wanted to do is I wanted the kids by the end of the year to be able to hear some music and have the ability to listen to the words and decide, is this something that would please God or is this something I should turn off? So we started early on by picking a song and listening to the words. So that's what we're going to do now. So that song is, Abby, what is the song? Jesus Messiah. All right. So I have 39 weeks of songs on my iPhone. I don't know how much it cost me. Not that much. But I don't know what.
About 39 songs.
I take the cheap songs. All right. So what was the name again? Jesus Messiah. Okay. So let me go to the J's here. All right. Jesus Messiah. All right. So this is like the best investment I ever made. This little portable, this is a jam box. Yeah, speakers. All right, so we're going to play Jesus Messiah. So pretend like you are a fifth grader. Don't sing it yet, okay? Okay, there we go. Notice there's a little box that says My Thoughts. You want the kids to hear the words, and if they think of something to write down, that means da-da-da.
Jesus Messiah.
Let's go back. Okay. And what happened here? We turned off.
The battery is about full.
Okay. Off. On. I know, isn't that wonderful? There we go. All right, you should pair in a second. One of us.